Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week, I actually just wanted to speak a bit about what do I eat when I'm in a calorie deficit? How does it change from when I maintain in my weight? Was there any big shifts, versus last year? Well, when I say last year, I mean before Christmas, between September and Christmas. Spoke a bit about it in the last episode, but I suppose just explaining how I always hit my protein targets, how I keep things structured, how I don't go over my calories all the time, etc. But just before we jump into that, this is the last week of January, okay? So what I want you to do is, I don't know whether you listened to last week's episode, but I just spoke about how to master your calorie deficit. But if you did start your calorie deficit at the start of January, I want you to ask yourself, okay, it's the end of the month, the last week of the month. Have I taken on too much too soon? Are these promises that I've made to myself at the start of January, these absolutely outrageous promises, like I'm gonna cut out all takeaways, I'm gonna cut out chocolate, I'm gonna cut out alcohol, yada yada yada. How far have you actually gotten? How were you able to stick to that? Okay, because the chances are if you kept breaking the cycle, 2 or 3 days a week, it was too much for you to take on. It was too overwhelming. It was too much of a big change. So instead of thinking, I'll just start next year, why not say, okay, let's regroup. What wasn't working for me? How can I change that? And then bring it into February. Still continue with this week, okay? Sometimes when people go off track for one day, they just write off the whole week. Like 6 days on track is, I don't know whether you're good at maths. I wasn't great at maths, but 6 days is greater than one day off track. You ain't gonna cancel out 6 days of good with one day of bad, okay? So I don't know what your bad habits might be. Again, you might have taken on too many overwhelming tasks that you just couldn't sustain, which I spoke about and how to fix that. So if you are cutting out takeaways, chocolate, alcohol, or whatever, something that you are having too much of, I always suggest weighing down on it. Slow and steady wins the race. Taking on 5 spin classes a week, living off 1200 calories when you don't even know if that's the amount of calories you're supposed to be eating for someone of your height, weight, and age. Going into the gym, just doing whatever, or going into the gym and doing whatever cardio, 10 minutes today, 20 minutes tomorrow, 5 minutes the next day, just absolutely no system. You're not seeing any results on the scale. So your brain is screaming at you. Just stop, just go back to what's easy. You need to develop a good routine, okay? You need to develop a system, you need to develop sustainability, something that you can remain consistent with. So go back and listen to my last episode about how to master your 2026 calorie deficit if you are struggling at the moment. So just regroup and make a few tweaks now going into this week or the start of February and just have patience. Slow and steady wins the race. I started week 4 in my calorie deficit, and again, I had my menstrual cycle at the start of the month, and then I went on a 4-day holiday. Okay. And I'm back from my solo trip now and I enjoyed it. It was a new experience. It was weird. It was odd. The first day or two, I was just finding my feet. It was strange again not having those conversations with people. When you do go away with like friends or family. And yeah, I was a bit unsteady. But again, those feelings pass. Okay. The amount of times I put myself in situations that, would terrify me, like traveling to Australia by myself, traveling to Thailand by myself. I was traveling to Arizona by myself, like things that I haven't done before. They're obviously going to scare you because your brain is trying to protect you. Same way doing a calorie deficit for the first time or deciding to change your life. It's going to be scary and your brain is going to throw reasons at you for you not to do that and to stick to what's safe because it's trying to protect you. Okay. It doesn't like unfamiliarity. But I was there for 4 days. I was in Marahuala in Fuerteventura. And I really enjoyed it. It was nice and peaceful and it felt liberating, felt very independent. Usually there's just always someone else being like, we have to get the shuttle bus at this time, we have to be to the airport by that time, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I was just living life on my own terms and it was great. All I had to do was just read a Kindle, go to the gym, go on my walks. And I'd say I was at maintenance most days while I was over there because I wasn't a calorie deficit, but it's very hard to track when you're eating out frequently on a holiday. So in the evenings I would just enjoy a dinner that I like. And in the daytime I would stick to a low calorie breakfast, low calorie lunch. So that could be, a bowl of cereal with a protein yogurt for breakfast. a banana or something like that for a snack, or a protein bar, and then I would have maybe a chicken sandwich for lunch, and then I just enjoy a meal then the evening. And I was going to the gym. I got three gym sessions in, three cardio sessions in, and the gym was a bit of a walk. It was like a 25-minute walk up and then back, so I was hitting over my 10,000 steps most days, which was great. And started this deficit at 61, and it went up and down for the last few weeks because the period, the holiday, it's back at 61 now. So we are back now, just trying to get that trend to go downward now. My coach slightly dropped my calories in the last check-in. Whether I was going on a holiday or not, he said this was always coming. So slightly dropped them. What I mean slightly, I mean by 50 calories on, 50 to 100 calories. So what I wanted to talk about today was the types of foods that I eat, because I get questions all the time about, like, oh, you put up pasta bolognese and you're sorry, what's the recipe? Like, there's no fancy recipe. It's literally just brown the mince. I use Dalmio sauce in a jar and I just boil my pasta. That's literally it. But I am a creature of habit. I don't like change, and I always speak about sustainability, and that's how you can remain consistent, if you can sustain the habit and obviously make the habit attractive as well. Like, if you're I wouldn't be able to do a recipe that like has 20 bleeding steps and I have to like throw in this spice and that spice and loads of different ingredients. Like, I'm just simple and I can sustain that. Because my ADHD, if something feels like a mountain for me to climb, I look for reasons to avoid it. So making something easy and simple and quick is the key to me being able to sustain a calorie deficit and maintenance. I'm obviously still doing dry January. I haven't had a drink this month. I didn't even have a drink while I was away. Like, I don't miss alcohol whatsoever. Again, I kind of only drink when there's a reason to, like if it's a big event or something like that, or if it's someone's birthday. Just going out and drinking for the sake of drinking on the weekends, or even in the house, like, just doesn't appeal to me. It hasn't been a good few years. But anyway, so what does a typical day of food look like for me? So I have like these menus. Okay, now they're not physical menus, but just over the years of being in calorie deficits and maintenance. And when I say I eat the same meals all the time, like, it'll change after a few months. I'll be like, I might try change that up. I might try this instead or that instead. So I've like these three menus, okay? So I have an A menu, a B menu, and a C menu. So an A menu is when I go do a food shop, like, I know what I'm grabbing because I always eat the same things, okay? So it's not like I'm grabbing loads of ingredients. But an A menu is my everyday foods. If I'm just having a normal day, like Monday to Friday, that's protein oats in the morning, maybe a chocolate bar then mid-morning, like a small one. It could be a turkey fry in the afternoon. That's like, egg whites, turkey sausages, turkey rashers, and a bagel, toasted bagel. And then in the evening, it could be pasta bolognese, okay? With low fat mince, and then a protein yogurt and a coffee somewhere throughout the day as well. That's just a normal day for me, okay? So I know if I take out my fitness pal the night before, if I go for that menu, the A menu, I know I'm going to hit my protein with those meals that day, because I've had a day like that so many times over the last few years. I just know, okay, if I have these three combos, these three meal combos and these snacks, I'm going to hit my protein goal. So I'm going to stick to A menu this week, for example. Now, B menu would be if I'm out of the house for most of the day. So I have a menu where if I have a certain combination of meals, I will hit my protein goal. So that could be protein oats in the morning, as usual. And then if I'm out of the house for most of the day, like, I could be driving around the country, and I might not be home till like 11 that evening. So I'm gonna have to bring stuff with me if I'm in a calorie deficit. If I'm at maintenance, then I'll probably just, use my noggin when I'm in the local petrol stations and just get a chicken sandwich. And maybe just have something in a restaurant nearby in the evening. But when I'm in a calorie deficit, like, a lot of time I will bring meals with me, and maybe get a protein bar in a petrol station or something like that, and a coffee. But the B menu, when I'm on the road for most of the day, I'll have my protein oats in the morning. Before I leave, I might have a protein yogurt, and then I will bring pasta bolognese in a lunchbox, okay? Because I think you can eat that cold. And wherever I'm going, it will usually have a fridge, because it's usually a building that I go into that will have, like, boardrooms and stuff like that, and staff rooms. And then I will probably bring like
ham sandwiches in tin foil. So I'm not talking about one slice of ham, I'm talking about four or five slices of ham, because that's nearly about like 20 grams of protein. So I'm building that menu around how will I hit my protein goal this day, today. So the B menu is literally how to eat on the fly if I'm out all day, okay? And then the C menu is if I have a night out planned. So I know exactly what I have to eat on a day where I'm going out for the night and will allow me to free up, say, 800 calories. So that could be, so the way I work on a day where I have a night out planned, whether I'm going for a meal out or having a few drinks, I try to save a lot of my carbs for the evening time, okay? And not because carbs are bad, but protein's gonna fill me more. And I'm gonna be having more carbs in the evening if I'm gonna be having a meal out and drinking some alcohol. So what would that look like? That could look like egg whites in the morning with turkey sausages, okay? That could probably be about 250 calories, and I'll have a slim bagel. So that could be about 400 calories altogether, okay? And then let's just say my calorie deficit is like 1600 calories. So I have 1200 calories left. I'll have a protein yogurt for a snack. And then for my lunch, I'll have a chicken salad with a sauce that I like to just add flavor to it and make it interesting. So I'll chop up all my favorite veg. And then I will fry off some chicken. So there's no carbs in that meal, literally just to keep a pure protein, because protein's going to fill me. Because if I didn't have protein with breakfast, or a protein snack, or protein with my lunch, I'm going to be very, very hungry then come the evening. And what's going to happen? I'm going to overeat because I'm so hungry, and my stomach's going to be like, oh, you starved us all day. I don't know when we're going to get food again next. So I'm not going to tell your brain when you're full. And that's how you overeat, because your brain thinks you're not going to get enough food in and you're going to starve it again for another day. So that would be my A menu, my B menu, and my C menu. So that's usually the plan that I stick to. So I know a lot of people, like, oh, have you got any recipes? Have you got this? Have you got that? Like, what foods do you enjoy? Like, it doesn't need to be a Michelin star meal for you to drop body fat. It just needs to be something simple that you can stick to. And especially if you have kids and you work full time and you're running around doing after school activities, and then you have to go to the gym and do cardio and then try to get your steps in as well somewhere along the way, and you're looking for recipes that have 10 to 15 fucking steps in them, how are you going to be able to sustain that? Oh, I'm going to cook that every day for the week, and then it gets to day three and you're like, this actually takes me so much time, I'm gonna have to go back to the drawing board. And then you end up going over your calories that day, or not hitting your protein goal that day, because you just gave up when you shouldn't really. Okay, you're always one meal away from going off track. So when I go into a shopping center, these are the type of things that I get. Okay, these are the type of things that I would always buy. First of all, I always get my protein sources first. Now, obviously, the way the supermarket is laid out, you know, they might be different for you. But when I walk into my local Super Value, I'm met with the fruit and veg section first. Okay, so I will usually grab a head of lettuce if I need any veg, some onions, tomatoes, peppers, etc. if I'm making anything with spice in it. And then I pass the eggs. Okay, I'll get a tray of eggs if I want to make an omelet or egg whites. And then I pass the red meat section, and I always get low fat mince. Okay, because basically, if you get full fat mince, it's going to be higher in calories because it's higher in fat. Okay, because there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. All right, so if something's high in fat, it's obviously going to be high in calories then. All right, but not everything that has fat in it is bad for you. And I don't like even using that word bad. Like, there's obviously saturated fat, which you're going to get in, like, you know, deep fat fryers and chippers and stuff like that. And then, like, you're going to get the good fats, like, you know, peanut butter, nuts, fish, egg yolks and stuff like that, and olive oil. But anyway, sorry, I'm going a bit off track, but I always go for the low fat mince because it's lower in fat, so it's going to be lower in calories, but it's very, very high in protein. So I'll always have about like 150 to 200 grams of red mince, like, every day. I remember when I went to get my blood test done, my blood's done, it came back that like my iron was very high. So that's because I eat a lot of red meat. Red meat actually has a lot of creatine in it as well, but nothing compared to the amount that you can take through a supplement. So that's why people do take creatine. But yeah, I'll grab my red mince always. I never used to like mince. I never used to like the taste of it because I did not have the flavour. And I used to always eat chicken. Chicken was always my go-to, but I've kind of gone off it a bit. I don't really like it that much, so I don't really eat it a lot. But anyway, grab the mince, and then I will go around by the bread section, and I'll always grab slim bagels, okay? Because they're just handy to have everything. If you want to have a chicken sandwich, if you want to have like a toasted chicken sandwich, a toasted ham sandwich, something to throw your rashers on or your egg whites on, a bit of ketchup, etc. It's like a little breakfast spap. And then I will pass the like packed meat section. So, you know, like chicken that's already cooked and it's in packets. So I'll always usually grab two of them because they're so handy to have. If you are having a busy day and you don't have time to cook, I literally toast a slim bagel, throw like Cajun or just normal roast chicken that's in a packet, it's already sliced, throw it onto a bagel with a bit of lettuce, bit of tomato, and then have like a pack of treble crunch. And that's like 300, 400 calories and it's like 20 grams of probably 25 grams of protein. You know, it's quick and easy to make. And then I will pass like the sauces section. So if I need to top up any dalmio sauce or curry sauce, and if I need to get any like fry light spray or, you know, spices, etc. And that's where like they have their rices and their pasta as well, like beside those like jars of sauces. So if I need to top up pasta, if I need to top up any rice. And then I will go over to the dairy section. So that's where I'll grab my protein yogurts. So I usually get four of them. And that's usually where they have the bottle of egg whites as well, beside the milks. Now, I haven't seen them in Super Value in the last week or so, so that's why I've been buying trays of eggs. But egg whites are so handy to have, okay? So that's my protein sources. Like red meat, eggs, protein yogurts, packed chicken. And then my carb sources will be stuff that I can pair with them. So, you know, pasta with the minced or mayo sauce, bagels with the sliced chicken, you know, protein yogurts for snacks. And yeah, and then with eggs, I'll usually always have like turkey rashers or bacon medallions. Like that's something else I forgot to mention in the protein section. And I'll, you know, I always compare them with bagels. Sometimes I'll get spuds. I'm not really a big fan of spuds just because they take ages to cook. But another thing I do get as well is waffles. So I sometimes throw mince on waffles, you know, and I get a jar of chili sauce. That's high in protein as well. The thing is, like, how I save calories is I always go for sauces that would be low on calories. Like, curry sauce is low on calories, okay? Spicy sauce, like, you know, chili sauce would be low on calories because they're dense in veg, like chilies, kidney beans, etc. Spices. Like, what I try to say to people is, if you were going on a night out, and remember I said about the chicken salad, like, am I going to be drenching a chicken salad in olive oil or, you know, Parmesan cheese, whatever cheese they use for a feta cheese? No, because that stuff is high in calories and you're trying to save calories, you know. So that's why even in a normal calorie deficit, whether you're going out or not, saving calories through low calorie sauces is better to do, because sauces aren't going to fill you. So wasting a lot of calories on them is basically going to jeopardize the calories that you can spend on your protein source and your carb source at that meal, okay? So getting like these Eddie Rockets garlic sauces and like drenching your dinner in them, like, and I know a lot of people get Biscoff spread and put it in their oats. Like, I've often had to pull up clients and I'd be like, you're spending 200 calories on this spread on your oats, okay? You could be putting, and your protein has been really low all week. Like, you could be putting that towards, you know, an extra bit of mince, an extra bit of chicken to get your protein up. Maybe cut it down to like, you know, 50 calories worth of Biscoff sauce. You're still going to be able to taste it. You know, it's going to get to a point where no matter how much you put into that bowl, you're still going to be able to taste it. It doesn't matter about the portion. So little things like that, that's how you would save calories. And that's how I save calories when I'm in a calorie deficit. Going for slim bagels instead of instead of the full bagels. You're saving calories. You're still getting the bagel. Basically, what you're trying to do is you're trying to, like, if I had 1600 calories, you're trying to put most of your calories towards your meals. And that's the great thing about pre-tracking or having like that ABC menu approach. Like, before I go to bed, I'm logging in my food the next day. I know exactly what I have to eat to hit my protein goal. And, you know, I used to be the type of person that if I had 1600 calories, I'd be trying to keep like 700 to 800 calories aside for snacks. And then I'm starving then throughout the day because my meals are like 200 to 250 calories. Like, that's not going to fill you. Like, when I see people having two wheat biscuits with a bit of low fat milk for their breakfast, I'm like, you are a grown woman. Like, four biscuits and a protein yogurt, that's a fucking grown up breakfast, okay? Four wheat biscuits. And what else is I going to say there? So yeah, I would prioritize my protein first of all at each meal. So if I'm pre-tracking on my Fitness Pal, I'm just going to pretend I'm tracking it now. For breakfast, I'm going to log in protein powder, all right, one scoop. For lunch, I'm going to log in 100 grams of 200 grams of egg whites, three bacon medallions. Okay, that's my protein source. And then dinner, 200 grams of low fat mince, about 5%. My super value actually does 2%, so it's dead handy. It's lower in calorie and even more higher in protein. Now I go in and I check my protein bar. When you know the way you click the nutrition button on your MyFitnessPal, what protein am I at? So I'm at about 100 out of 140. Okay, right, I still have 40 grams left to reach. I'm gonna try on a protein yogurt there as a snack, right? I'm up at 120. Okay, so we leave it at 120 for the moment. Now I go back in and I start adding my carb sources. So I'm gonna add my oats, my protein powder. That's usually about 60 grams of oats, and I use water to mix it, and then I throw it in the micro. For dinner, I use a Slim Bagel for my carb source, a little bit of ketchup, low fat ketchup again, trying to save calories with the sauces. And then for dinner, I use about 50 grams of pasta, dry pasta, okay, which is about 180 calories. And then my sauce would be Dalmio sauce. So carbs can have some traces of protein because, breads would use milk to mix to make the bread, and then I go back into my protein tab and I'm up at 140 now because of the traces of protein from the carb sources. Okay, it wasn't much, all right, but it got me to 140 anyway. And then I look at my carb source. Okay, so a lot of people freak out when I look at my carb bar, sorry. A lot of people freak out being like, oh, I went over my carbs today and I didn't reach my fat target and I kind of hit my protein target. As long as you're in a calorie deficit and you're hitting your protein target, you're going to be having carbs with your meals anyway. So you're going to be getting sufficient carbs in and there's going to be traces of fats and everything else as well, okay? Unless you're cooking with olive oil and you're having mountains of peanut butter with your breakfast, like you are going to go over your fats and that'll probably bring you over your calories, all right? But I go into my carb bar anyway and let's just say my carbs are 180 or something like that. I managed to get like 190. Okay, I went over by 10 grams. I'm looking at my calories. I'm still in my calorie deficit. My fat goal is 50 grams. I got to like 40. Okay, so I missed out by 10 grams. Big deal. I still hit my protein target. It a big trick for most people. And my coach said it to me back when I was only starting to train, when I used to go to a gym to a trainer. He said, Enya, for beginners, as long as you're in your calorie deficit and you're hitting your protein goal, and obviously pre-tracking will help you with that, the night before, so you know exactly what you have to eat. That's the main thing, because again, you're going to be having carb portions with every meal anyway, okay? People usually struggle with the protein side of things because they're having processed chicken nuggets with their dinner, they're having just a bowl of cereal for their breakfast, and then they're like nibbling at donuts in the staff room, and then for dinner they're having waffles with processed fish fingers and beans, like they're basically eating what their kids are eating, and then they get to the end of the day and they've eaten 30 grams of protein and like 250 grams to 300 grams of carbs, and they've went over their calories. Like, that's how it happens. So that's why we need to train you to be able to eat sufficient protein at each meal. And that's what people usually struggle with. But a rule of thumb, if you are a beginner, try not get too hell-bent on hitting every number, okay? Like hitting your protein target, your carb target, your fat target. If you're only starting off, just focus on getting sufficient protein. And like I said, pre-tracking will help you with that. Mess around with the portion sizes, okay? Log the three meals in, log the three protein sources in for each meal. Go to your protein tab down in MyFitnessPal and see what you're at after you log those. If you've like gone way under, you're not having enough protein with each meal, okay? You need to build the portions up at each meal. Like if you're only having 100 grams of mince and one egg and two turkey rashers with dinner and not even having any protein with your breakfast and not even having a protein yogurt, yeah, you're gonna fall really short. Like you have to make a conscious effort the night before or the morning of to know exactly what you have to eat to hit that protein goal. Okay, winging it never works. I've been saying that to my clients all along, even my 8 week challenge clients at the moment. Waking up every day and just assuming you are going to hit your macros is a recipe for disaster. All right, you're going to get to the end of the day, you're going to forget the foods that you've eaten. Well, I don't mean you'll probably remember your main meals, but you're going to forget snacks that you've had along the way. You're going to forget things like, did I add milk to my tea? Oh God, what was the portion of mince that I have? How much pasta did I eat again? So even if you are winging it and you're not even logging the meals at the time of eating the meal. You're waiting till the end of the day to log everything in. You are going to forget some shit. And, you know, you think you're in your calorie deficit, but you've actually went over by 300 calories because you forgot about the biscuit that you had in work, or, you know, the cappuccino that you had. And then it's the next day and you're like, oh shit, I actually had them yesterday, so I wasn't even in a calorie deficit. And now you're getting to the end of the week and then you're wondering why the scale is not dropping, because you're being just so lackadaisy about it. Okay, so I hope those tips have helped. All right, like, your macros are important. Protein is to keep you full and it's to help you build and repair muscle. All right, there is a method to the madness. Like, I've gone a day just out of pure curiosity, I've gone a day without eating protein, and let me tell you, by the time I'm going to bed, I'm starving. Like, I don't get that hungry in calorie deficits. I don't. Maybe for the fourth week, you know, especially after the Christmas, when you've been kind of eating what you want and not really prioritizing protein. I was quite hungry in the evening because my body's not used to it. But once you sit with it and know, right, well, I've eaten enough protein today, I've eaten enough food today, I know I'm not starving myself. This is my body just saying, hey, we're not used to this. We're usually eating shit around this time of the evening. That's all that is, okay? And use that ability to have that inner dialogue, because it does help. Like, you're grown adults, all right? The guys who are listening to this, you are grown adults. If you can chastise your child, okay, you can chastise yourself, all right? If you're a manager in a job and you have to chastise other people, you can chastise yourself. And even, like, the promises that you make to yourself, like, honour them. Like, if you had a friend who was dependent on you to be like, I'm moving house tomorrow, I'm by myself, like, I'm not in that relationship anymore, I need help, like, getting these boxes out of my house and into my truck. Like, I'm going through a really hard time right now, I could really do with the help. You wouldn't let your friend down. You'd be like, yes, I will be there 100%. But you love letting yourself down. You find it so easy to let yourself down. Would you treat a friend like that, just constantly bailing out on them all the time? Like, I discussed this in last week's episode as well, about people who, actually, no, I spoke about it in my group call that I did with my 8-week challengers. Motivation is like that shit friend, never around when you need it. Pops up from time to time, but it's never there when you need it, okay? Don't be that friend to yourself. Show up for yourself, respect yourself. Every time you make a promise to yourself and don't fulfill it, you are disrespecting yourself, okay? Just imagine you had someone in your life who treated you like that, constantly let you down, never shows up for you, like, doesn't see you as a priority. That's how you see yourself every time you give up on yourself, okay? You need to have respect for yourself. This is a new way of living, all right? If you've been living a certain way for 6 months to a year, it's going to take time. Did you think it was going to be easy? Did you actually think this was going to be easy? Did you think it wasn't going to be hard? Because it is. It's going to be hard, especially the first few weeks. Once you accept that and you just roll with the punches, okay, this is how I'm supposed to be feeling. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to feel difficult. It will eventually start to feel like a way of life. Same way when you start a job, it feels hard. When you get into a new relationship, it feels weird. But eventually you find your feet. When I went on that solo holiday, I was fucking terrified, but I did it anyway. I felt the fear and did it anyway. And do you know what? It's always 10 times worse in your head. And the feeling always passes. And that applies to everything, even in fat loss. That feeling of wanting to go to the press, it will pass. That feeling of wanting to stick to the gym, but getting up and putting your shoes on anyway, even though you're in the bleeding height of it, it will pass. Once you get there and then you come back, you're absolutely delighted that you went through with it. I don't jump out of the bed every day wanting to exercise, okay? I don't look in the presses and look at bags of chocolate or crisps and think, oh, couldn't imagine anything worse than eating them. But you basically desensitize your brain from wanting them because you've practiced discipline for so long, and it's going to feel hard in the start. You're going to hate turning down chocolate and crisps. No, you can still have it, but I'm talking about 3 to 4 bars a fucking day, okay? It's going to be hard to moderate your eating habits in the start. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to feel hard. All right. Not everybody talks about this online. People make it look like it's a walk in the park. But when you look at people who are in tremendous shape, okay, it is easy to them now. It is, all right, because they've practiced it for so long. They've practiced discipline for so long. They've sat with uncomfortable feelings, all right? They've made the effort to make the menus, the ABC menu. They've set up systems to make their life easier. They've made the habit attractive so it can be sustainable, okay? You need to look at your life. You need to take out a piece of paper and, like, how can I make this easy for myself, okay? It's not going to be an easy process, all right? It is going to be hard, but how can I make my habits easier? So, you know, leaving your shoes out for the gym, leaving your clothes out for the gym for the following morning, having your meat already batch cooked so you can just throw it into a lunchbox with some microwavable rice and some sauce. Like, that's how you make the habit attractive, okay? A lot of people are results driven, and that's why they give up. They're not process driven. All right. If you want to skip the process and just get to the end result, you ain't gonna get results. All right, because the process is the fun part. That's where the character is built. That's where the new you is gonna be built. And then when you get to the end goal, you're gonna be so proud. You're like, I can't believe I lived the way I did for so long. Look who I am now. But when you're constantly stop starting, you're never gonna get to the end goal. All right. It's never gonna be a process because you're not even giving the process a chance to start. Continue even when you have hiccups. You're only one meal away from getting back on track, or one day away, okay, depending on when you had the meal. One bad day does not mean a bad life. One bad day in a week of a calorie deficit does not mean you've written yourself off. And I say it all the time on every podcast. My biggest downfall when I was doing calorie deficits back in the heyday was every time the scale didn't say what I wanted it to say, I would give up. If I overate one day, I would just give up for the rest of the week. Like, that could be a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And I'm just letting 4 days go to waste now where I could have stayed in a calorie deficit and lost even half a pound that week. Now I'm not even losing a pound at all. So just get back up, pull your socks up. You are a grown woman, all right, or a grown man. Have that talk with yourself. Use that inner dialogue, okay? It is going to be hard, but the process is where the character is built and you need to go through it, because then when you do your next calorie deficit, you are going to be so much stronger. So that's just some tips about macros, about what I eat in a day. Again, it's nothing exciting. I always log in my protein sources, a force on my fitness pal, and then I start adding in the carb sources that I enjoy. Protein sources that I enjoy, not what Mary next door enjoys or my friend enjoys or someone online told me what I should be eating, okay? It has to be something you enjoy. And then, yeah, my A, B and C menu. So, you know, you take out a pen, a piece of paper or over my fitness pal, and what would be your A and B, C menu be? A, B, C menu be, sorry, I messed that up. And it has to be foods that you enjoy. Okay, and mess around with the portion sizes. So if you're looking to reserve maybe 800 calories for a meal out and some drinks, you know, stick to maybe a high protein, low carb breakfast, and the same with lunch, and you know, a protein yogurt for a snack or something like that. It can be done. I'm actually doing a group call tonight with my 8 week challengers about eating out on the weekend and alcohol, and how, you know, alcohol can impact fat loss. But yeah, I'm still doing dry January. I'm probably going to do dry February as well, to be honest. I'm going to a concert at the end of February, so I'll probably save myself for that. And I'm actually traveling to Australia as well in April and the Philippines. So I have obviously something to keep me accountable now in a calorie deficit. And I know a lot of you are enjoying the weigh-ins as well. It's been a bit up and down, but again, it's, you build bulletproof patience when you've done multiple calorie deficits over the years. And I know how this goes, and it will eventually drop. Okay, I'm not in a rush. I have 12 fucking weeks. I don't need to rush it. But yeah, I'm excited to see the end result. But I just keep ticking the boxes, showing up, going to the gym, doing my steps. Obviously, the weather's been miserable, but I'm still getting steps in on the treadmill. I still haven't ran yet. I'm using the Stairmaster again, which is good. I wasn't able to use that after the marathon because I just had not got the ability to like do that march in motion with my leg, which is what you do on a Stairmaster. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. I hope that's helped maybe give you, I suppose, a little bit of a system now when it comes to different types of days you might have in your week, and then also, you know, how I build my meals, etc. So thanks for tuning in, and tune in next week.